Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Mark, for that song and how we thank God that nothing separates us from His love. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read in just a moment, beginning verse number 12. And tonight we have a little bit of a different service, and this is going to be a service that's really dedicated to the subject of prayer. And in fact, let's start at verse number 10. And it was interesting to me because we've had some guest speakers over the last several Thursday nights, as we often do in our summer series. We have different preachers, and it was a blessing to hear about different ones. But one of the things that was interesting to me was how that three of them in a row preached on prayer, including Brother Jones last Thursday night, who preached on prayer. And tonight is one of the services that we scheduled to be a special prayer night on our church calendar. So what that means is that I'm going to bring a shorter Bible study tonight on the subject of prayer, and then we're going to pray as a church family. And after the invitation time, we'll have our teenagers have their prayer together in the youth room, and we're going to have a season of prayer. We've been doing a lot of things to get ready for the fall season. We've been having teachers get their lesson plans ready, and we've been getting all the staff trained, and we've been preparing sermons, and we've been getting buses ready, and sports teams ready, and songs ready, and there's just been millions and millions of things that have been getting done, it seems like. But the fact of the matter is that when we work, but when we pray, God works. And so tonight we're going to just take some time because we don't want to forget the obvious, and we're going to learn a little bit about prayer, and then we're going to pray as a church family. So stand with me as we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and one of the most key passages in our New Testament that really helps us to understand not just about prayer, but if you'll listen here in just a moment, you'll find that it speaks to us about the nature of the Christian life. And I think sometimes a nature that we forget the behind-the-scenes spiritual battles that take place. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the resource of prayer, and we pray even now that we would learn more and adapt more and experience more of the power of prayer in our own personal lives and corporately as a church. And I pray tonight for those in this room who have in their lives some concerns, some needs, some strongholds, some physical needs, some areas that are spiritual warfare, areas that you and you alone can change by your power. I pray that tonight you would answer those requests and meet those needs, and I pray that you would also teach us about how to continually walk in prayer so that we might see your power and your freedom, and we might just see your mighty hand in our lives because of what we learned tonight about prayer. And then, Lord, as we go to prayer in just a little while, I ask even now that you would prepare our hearts for that and cleanse our minds and hearts, that we might not have anything in our hearts that would somehow hinder the prayer time that we're going to experience tonight. Because we know that you have taught us, if we regard iniquity in our heart, that you will not hear us. So I pray that no one in this room would be like that Achan of the Old Testament who had sin in the camp that hindered the working of God. And Lord, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you that have watched the news or listened to the news over the course of the past few weeks, there has been the interjection into the news stream of another name related to terrorism. And we've heard about this ISIS that has come forth from Syria and Iraq, and most notoriously and sadly, just 2 days ago, this group beheaded an American journalist on YouTube and sent that around the world as a message to simply say that they hate America and that they want to bring bloodshed to Americans. And for many years, we have heard the words Al-Qaeda, and we have heard about terrorists and terrorism, and we have heard about the war on terror. And it seems like right about the time that maybe one group is having some of their generals killed and maybe being pushed back, all of a sudden here comes another group that's rising up that we're told by Secretary Hagel in the news recently that is a more well-funded group and a more well-organized group and a more militaristic group, and a group that is a threat to, as he said on the news, all American assets worldwide. And so we sit here as citizens, and perhaps you think, as I think, this is amazing. It's sort of like some kind of oil that about the time you think it's taken care of here, it's running over here, and it's just one of those issues that seemingly can't really be taken care of, and it's something that concerns our hearts. And it's interesting to me when I think about the fact that not only do we have all branches of the United States military, and not only we have a lot of people in here tonight that work in defense, but we have people even in our own church that work for parts of the defense industry or branches of our government that are specifically given to fighting terrorism and specifically given to the intelligence that might help in that battle. And amazingly tonight, as we all know, there are hundreds of thousands of people that are trying to monitor the safety of America, and they're giving their lives, and we appreciate that. And there's always those that are catching information, and sometimes, as we've learned in recent months, maybe catching a little too much of our personal information along the way. Nevertheless, there's this battle all the time to try to keep us safe, and it's kind of a behind the scenes, and it's kind of a stealthy type of a battle to keep us safe and to fight against the terrorists. And by the way, how many of you are thankful that there's lots of people out there keeping an eye on the terrorists tonight, aren't you? It is a real problem, and it is a constant problem, and it is a hidden problem, and it is a deadly problem. But as real and constant and hidden and deadly as terrorism is, the fact of the matter is that there is a real, constant, hidden, deadly fight and battle that is coming against you and your family and us and this church 24/7. There is a constant assault from the wicked one to take Christians, discourage them, get them sideways, get them disgruntled, get them discouraged, get them out the door of fellowship with the Lord. It's a constant bombardment that seems to come. And we would be wise as we enter into the months of September to recognize that, because sometimes what happens in the busyness of the schedule with school and school teachers and coaches and moms and dads and kids and students and commuters and all of the relationships that we have is that sometimes what happens is we think, you know, my problem is that person, it's that teacher, it's that individual, it's this way that they did it. And if we're not careful, we begin to assign blame to what we see, but there's really that behind-the-scenes battle, that hidden battle, that deadly battle that's waging, and we're sometimes forgetful of it because we don't see it. I have in our home, and I've had for many years, a picture of a father praying at the bedside of his little daughter. And this verse that we read just a moment ago from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 is superimposed into the picture. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world. And the idea is that that father, because he's praying over his little child that's sleeping in the bed, is fighting the spiritual warfare on her behalf, because he realizes, and in this particular picture, there's an open window with a draft behind and kind of an ominous cloud. And the idea is that he's between those evil forces and his daughter as he spends time in prayer wrestling and fighting the spiritual battle. And that's what we're going to do tonight when we pray. We want to throw up a protective hedge, and we want to say, Lord, protect this church. Lord, protect my heart. Lord, help us in the spiritual battle, that we might be able to have your power, and that we would not be so foolish to think that the problem is the husband and wife only, but recognize the devil's always fighting husbands and wives. And the demonic forces are always fighting teenagers and trying to draw them in. And that there's real spiritual battle that we face every single day. And so tonight, while we all hear on the news about ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and we hear about these different problems of terrorism, and they're terrible and they're real, we also need to be aware of the fact that spiritually there is a real devil, and he does have one-third of the angelic beings that followed his rebellion when he said, I will ascend to the Most High. And when Lucifer rebelled against God, he took with him a great host of fallen angels who are busy and fighting Christianity today and drawing men and women as best he possibly can away from the truth. And we see it in many different ways. But tonight I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means the tricks. And he has many different tricks. He has many different arrows in his pouch that he throws at us. And we need to learn how to stand against these tricks of the devil, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, we read in the book of Matthew that Jesus has all power over heaven and earth. And we read that the Lord Jesus Christ has been given all power over heaven and earth. And we learn from the word power that there are different realms of spiritual authority. There are different ranks of fallen angels. There are different ranks of angels that are faithful to our God. And when we read in the scripture that Jesus has all power over heaven and earth, what that text is telling us is that Jesus has power over every rank. He is the commander in supreme. He is Lord. How many of you are thankful for that? So I suggest that as you get ready for this fall season, and as we get ready to enter into a time that's maybe a little busier and such, and also a time when this church intentionally launches out and intentionally with renewed vigor gets the gospel out. The devil hates that. I suggest to you that we had better be walking with the protection and direction and leadership of our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that has power over all these realms of fallen angels and all of these demons and over the devil himself. And as we're mindful of the fact in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that Satan bruised the heel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but when Jesus rose up again from the grave, he bruised the head of Satan, and Satan is already a defeated foe. How many of you are thankful for that tonight? We're on the winning side in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so with that backdrop of spiritual warfare and what it is and the power that our Lord has, I want to give you just three simple thoughts tonight about prayer. And then we'll spend some time in prayer tonight. Notice, first of all, in the little outline, the practice of prayer. The practice of prayer. Now, tonight we're not studying the armor of God, though it is a wonderful study, and we've preached through this passage before. But we're going to study the warrior's resource tonight, which is prayer. And the fact of the matter is, in a military setting, a man or woman that is dressed for combat, they may have all of the combat equipment. They may have a gun. They may have even a Kevlar vest. They may have all of these things. But if they don't have bullets in the gun, they really don't have the resource that they're going to need if they don't have the ammunition. And our ammunition is prayer. Our firepower is not in ourselves, but it is the fact that we have direct access, Hebrews chapter 10, to enter boldly to the throne of grace by way of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus shed his blood, the Bible says that the curtain of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and symbolizing that there's now access for all of us to come directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so notice what it says here in verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, we learn about this Christian warrior. Not only is he cognizant of the battle, not only is he aware that spiritual danger literally lurks, not only does he have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and not only does he have these the outward apparel and the sword of the Spirit, but he has this dynamic power of prayer available to him. And the Bible tells us here in verse 18 that he is to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, just jot this down. First of all, praying always speaks of praying earnestly. It speaks of praying constantly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And years ago, we showed a film here, and I can't remember the name of it right offhand. It was the old Tom Williams film about the story of his life and his wife and so forth. Any of you remember the name of that film? Twice Given? That's what I thought it was and wasn't 100% sure. But and I don't remember all about the film, but one of the scenes in the film that I remember was during a time when his wife was in the hospital and the bills were mounting up, that Tom Williams got into the elevator and he just said something like this, "Lord, it's Tom again. And I just saw the bills and I can't pay the bills." And I always remember that little snippet in the film because it portrayed something to me that I hadn't really thought of in that way. And it portrayed not only a relationship, but it portrayed a continual relationship. If my wife and I are driving as we were today in the car together, and we're talking maybe about our children or grandchildren, and we're talking about shopping or whatever, and then maybe I get a phone call and I take care of that, or maybe we just stop talking for a few minutes. But just anywhere along in there, 2 minutes later, I might just continue the conversation with her. It's not abnormal. It's just normal to continue a conversation like that. And God wants us to be in a continual conversation with Him. Now, I suggest to you that it should start in the morning in a special place somewhere before you start your day. I think your conversation should have a starting point. And I strongly encouraged our church family with respect to this year to take the stewardship journals that we passed out in January and keep a little record of your Bible reading and your prayer time. And frankly, in my stewardship journal, there are a few days here and there when my recorded prayer time is not at 5:30 or 6 o'clock a.m. It may be that real personal prayer time came a little later because of something that happened or somebody called or there was some need. But the fact is, it's best to have at the beginning of your day the beginning of that conversation where you begin by just saying, "Lord, I want to start this day by letting you know how I adore you, how I'm thankful for you, how I want to confess to you my need to you today, confession, and then thanksgiving, supplication, asking God to meet your needs, asking God to help with those that need to be saved," whatever your prayer list is. And we had a wonderful message a few weeks ago on the necessity of a prayer list. Those of you that weren't here for that message by Evangelist Tom Farrell, about 3 weeks ago, the message that he gave us on prayer, and he talked about the prayer list. That was very, very helpful. And I really believe that in the morning, we ought to begin this time with God in prayer, and that ought to be the beginning point. But what I read in verse 18 is simply the fact that we are to be praying always. It's not something that starts there and ends there until the next day. It's a continuing conversation. And how many of you have ever seen maybe on your cell phone or your little computer device, and somebody will text you, and maybe it's a question, and then after the text, have you ever seen the little dot, dot, dot like that? And you know what that means? And I don't know how these little machines are so intuitive, but those little dots are telling me that somebody's about to say something more, or I'm expected to say something back, or they're just telling me that the machine's hyperactive. I'm not sure exactly always, but I think it's implying, hey, this is a continuing conversation here. Make sure that you're praying always and without ceasing. And then pray effectively. And I'll tell you how to pray effectively. Notice what it says in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Would you say these three words with me? In the Spirit. Say it, please. In
the Spirit.
Now, how many of you that have been saved for a while can say, I have had times in my life, and maybe today, when I have been in the flesh. The old nature dominated. You got ticked. Whatever. Come on. Help me out here. How many of you have had those times? How many of you are like, if it's been today, just keep your hand. All right, you can put your hand down. All right. So we all, you know, we kind of, and here's the thing. We always notice when someone else is in the flesh quicker than we notice when we're. When we're in the flesh, it's righteous indignation, you know, it's because someone else did something or whatever. But when someone else is in the flesh, we see it that fast. So we understand what it is to be in the flesh. And I won't ask you to raise your hands on this, but not in a Pharisaical way, but normally, if you are walking in the Spirit or responding in the Spirit, you can look back and say, Lord, thanks for helping me. That wasn't me, that was you. And to walk in the Spirit, it is to practice His presence. It is, of course, a death to self. It's the fullness of the Lord. It's the direction of the Lord. It's the awareness of His presence. It's, hello, Lord, this is Tom. It's just walking with the Lord and practicing His presence. And to pray in the Spirit means that I'm being led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, prompted by the Spirit, and that my prayer life is not just repetition. You know, it's so sad to me when I see people counting rosary beads because it's just a type of thing. By the way, be careful that you don't let your prayer list get like that. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. You know, sometimes you might just want to stop and dwell on something just a little bit or reverse the format because you want to pray in the Spirit. And there's an earnestness to that. There's a sincerity to that. But most of all, there's an unction to it, which the word unction implies that we are led or inspired by another other than ourselves. And it is the Holy Spirit that gives us that unction, that gives us that power for prayer. And sometimes our prayer life can get a little fleshly, and by that I mean it just becomes rote. It just becomes kind of us saying some words. But when you're praying in the Spirit, there is God's helping you, as we read in the book of Romans, that our utterings and our groanings are being understood and carried to God by the Holy Spirit. And so we're praying in the Spirit. The practice of prayer, it is to be done always in the Spirit. Then notice, secondly, the perseverance of prayer. Now, the Bible tells us in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So two words I just want to show you briefly here. First, notice we're to pray with expectancy. Because it tells us that we are to watch thereunto. We're to watch. There's to be a watchfulness. There's to be an alertness. There's to be an expectancy. And with our prayer, there ought not to just be the idea that, well, I said that, okay, I got that done. But there ought to be the anticipation. Now, one of the great things about a prayer list is that it causes us to be mindful. It causes us to be more alert. And we can go back and rejoice in the prayers that God answers. And we're watching for God to answer, and we're expecting the Lord to answer. And then secondly, pray with endurance, the word perseverance. I'll never forget my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Cannon. I don't know how old Mrs. Cannon was. Of course, I would have been about 10. And I can't say the whole poem to this day, but I remember the key phrase, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And we'd go through that, and if at first you don't succeed, try again. And what was she teaching us? Perseverance. And God says, with your prayers, I want you to come. And another time in the Bible, the word is importunity. And he says, and God says, I want you to come to me, and I want you to be filled with insistence and faithfulness, and I want you to show me the earnestness of your heart. And that's not a game with God. It is a spiritual exercise. It's not for God, this exercise necessarily. It's for me. It is an opportunity to show the Lord my heart. And Luke 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. God is looking for his children to come to him continually and to come to him without fainting. And one of the examples of a failure is when Jesus had the disciples following him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went to pray, and he's praying and shedding, as it were, great drops of blood, and he's in agony, and considering that the sins of the world, our sins, were going to be in his body on the cross, and he's praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And when he comes back down, he sees those disciples doing what? Asleep. And he says, can you not tarry with me 1 hour? And so there is to be an endurance. And here's the practical test, because in just a minute we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and here's going to be the practical test. Can we take 10 or 20 minutes as prayer warriors tonight and continually, with perseverance, stay focused on God and what's being said and agreeing with what's being said and corporately asking God to do the things that we're going to ask for tonight? Can we persevere for 20 minutes? Let's not be too hard on those disciples if we can't persevere for 20 minutes. And that's going to be the opportunity and privilege we have tonight. It's just to persevere a little bit in prayer. The practice of prayer, the perseverance of prayer, and finally, the purpose of prayer. In verse 18, it says these words, and I want you to notice at the last part of the verse, it says, with perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, just a few thoughts. The purpose of prayer. First, for the saints. For the saints. Tonight, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for the saints. We're going to pray for families that need mending, and we're going to pray for teenagers that need hearts to change, and we're going to pray for those in our church who have health needs. Brother Bob McGregor is here tonight. He has some tests tomorrow. We're going to pray for Brother Tony Brown. We're going to pray for Tess Garcia. We're going to pray for others that have need in their life right now, physically. And we're going to pray that God would encourage, help, heal, and strengthen the saints. We're going to pray for those that perhaps are our missionaries around the world. And on it goes. We're praying with all supplication for all the saints. And then, secondly, we're praying for the sinner. Now, you say, well, is Paul the sinner that we're talking about? Well, he was a sinner saved by grace. But notice the behind the scenes what it says in verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul was asking prayer for him because he wanted the sinners that heard the gospel to be saved. And I hope this goes without saying. Folks, I plead with you to have me on your daily prayer list. This pastor this morning from Phoenix, he was talking to me. He said, Brother Chapel, I want you to know. He said, I'm not saying this just to, you know, kind of kiss up or something. I just want you to know, every morning of the world, I pray for you and your church and your building program every morning of the world. That means so much to me. Pastor Rick Martin, once a month from the Philippines, sends me a letter with 31 names of people in their church who are taking one day a month to fast and pray for me. Every time I get that, I don't know. It humbles me. It puts me in. It's awkward even every time I get that, and I don't always know what to do. And sometimes I send them a little booklet or a tape of preaching, and I want to send them money, and then I know that's not really why they're doing it. But I'm so grateful that people who don't probably make $5 a week, people who need to eat, people that I'm not even their pastor, take a day a month to pray and not to eat food for that day to pray for me to be a better pastor. And if Paul said, brethren, pray for us, then I got to tell you tonight, brethren, pray for me. Because God has given to me the awesome privilege and responsibility to stand up in this pulpit from now to Christmas and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I need the door of utterance to be open. And I need to be able to preach the mystery of the gospel in such a way that it's known, understood, and believed on in this world. And that's not something that's done with just a speech class. That's something that requires the power of God. And so pray for boldness in preaching. Pray for blindness to be removed. The Bible speaks of that as well, that the mystery of the gospel may be known. Now, here tonight, we see that there's a spiritual warfare behind the scenes. It's hidden, it's powerful, it's dangerous. And God has given us, yes, the Word of God, but He's given us another weapon, and it's the weapon of prayer.